The NATO air war over Libya last year ended without any American casualties. Only one plane was lost, a U.S. Air Force F-15, on March 21, 2011. On board were a pilot, Major Kenneth Harney, in the front seat, and a weapons officer, Captain Tyler Stark, in the back seat. Now that the official investigation into the incident is over, they can tell their stories. They're on the line with us from Cambridge, near their base in England. Major Harney, take us back to that night. You just completed your bombing mission, dropping a single 500-pound bomb on your target. And then things started to go wrong with your aircraft, that F-15. What happened?
Correct. As we egress the target area, the aircraft all of a sudden departs from controlled flight, and we enter what we consider a flat spin. I kind of use the analogy, if you're driving down the road and you hit a patch of ice and all of a sudden your car starts spinning out of control, it's essentially what the aircraft did at that point.
What was your altitude when your jet began to dive?
We were just above 30,000 feet at that point, and we started the spin, and we actually ended up bailing out about 7,000 feet. So there was a long time, about 45 seconds, that the aircraft was spinning that we were trying to fight for control over.
45 seconds. That's not much time to kind of get your thoughts in order and figure out what to do. What was going through your mind at that point?
Well, initially, it's like, oh, wow, this can't be happening. And then all of a sudden, your training kind of kicks in. And due to the excellent emergency procedure training that we have, it's almost kind of by instinct that all of a sudden you start doing everything you need to do to try to recover the aircraft. So for the next 45 seconds, it actually seemed like an eternity at the time. We were just fighting, trying to regain control.
And Captain Stark, while you were going through all of this, did you have a sense where your plane was? Was it over hostile territory or at least partially hostile territory?
Well, when we were going in for the target attack, we knew that our target was around Benghazi, slightly to the south. So as soon as the spin started, it was very disorientating, and it was difficult to tell where we were continuing to move. You mostly just felt the centripetal force, rather, of the jet, and the focus was on getting control of the aircraft, not necessarily where we were at.
Right. So at 7,000 feet, you eject. I guess you get a lot of training on using the ejector seat. But Captain Stark, what is it like in real time?
Well, the training we get is more of how to be in a good body position. But there's nothing that can prepare you for the actual thrill, if you will, of going up the rails on an ejection seat. Major Harney calls bailout, 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 pulls the handle, and I'm the first one to go. So I feel a little bit of cool air from the canopy separating from the aircraft, and then a strong kick in the pants as I go up the rail. I remember looking down, seeing the nose of the jet sort of fade away in the red light of the rocket motor. And before I could finish processing that, the canopy opened and kind of snapped me back to it. It was fairly violent.
And are you also keeping your eyes peeled for Major Harney and where he's headed?
I didn't have to put much effort to that because as soon as my canopy opened, he was about 10 feet below me, close enough that I felt I could kick his canopy.
Which probably wouldn't have been a good idea. So did you get separated at all? I mean, did you land in pretty much the same area?
No, we actually did get separated. Captain Stark had a couple small parachute malfunctions that he was working through. I had a pretty much fully good-to-go parachute right away. So I actually turned to put the crash at my back, where he's kind of at the mercy of the wind. And then we end up probably landing about a half a mile from each other. It was too far for either one of us to be able to pick up, you know, visual at night with each other.
Oh, so this was at nighttime?
It was.
Did you manage to kind of get back together at some point?
We did not. We spent the next couple hours and basically going in opposite directions. I actually ran on foot probably for about 4.5 miles, just trying to stay away from any sounds. Saw any vehicles that I saw, any dogs that I heard, things like that.
What was going through your mind? How did you feel right now?
Terrified, basically, to say the least. You're scared to death. There's no doubt in your mind about that. But you're basically, it's almost surreal where you're just kind of watching yourself do all these things that you need to do. First thing to do is try to break contact with any people that potentially are following you. So that was my number one goal, to try to get away from the vehicles that I saw approaching the actual crash themselves. I'm basically across a flat desert from them, so I'm afraid that they can't see me if they put some sort of light over there. So I go for some distance. Eventually, we're able to break contact. But at one point, I was close enough to where you could hear voices, hear automatic machine gun fire throughout the night, and then also hear lots of dogs throughout the night. So your number one goal is just to stay away from all the sounds, try to basically stay away from the people and hide out as much as possible. while you're trying to get radio contact with the friendlies that are flying overhead.
Captain Stark, you were injured slightly on landing. What happened to you? And tell me about the next couple of hours after that.
So as the major said, I had some parachute difficulties, if you will. I was coming down a little bit quick, and when I landed, I ended up tearing some tendons in my knee and ankle. So I was not going to do the marathon that Major Harney did. I was more going to hide and wait to be found by friendly forces. The initial plan was to get us as far away from the crash, just as the major said, though I was going to do it a little bit slower, going from hiding spot to hiding spot. So it's at night, it's the desert, so there's not a lot of places to hide. Basically, it's a flat, rocky terrain with a few bushes that look good from a distance, but as you approach it, it's not the ideal hiding spot. For me, it was the best that I had in the relative vicinity, so I made the best of it.
And when, Captain Stark, did you actually connect with some Libyans who you were 100% certain were friendly?
Well, I was on the ground for about an hour and a half in my second holdup spot when I started to see some searchlights in my area, and they basically swept over my hiding location once and immediately snapped back, which is a very sinking feeling. And the whole goal is to evade and hide and not get caught. And here they are, the lights shining right on top of me. So I hear a voice that was in English, which kind of surprised me. Hey, American, come out. Mm. Then I hear footsteps approach from my right side, kind of 90 out from where the voice is. And I can tell that they're narrowing in. And at that point, I'm not wanting them to get too trigger happy in case I scare them. They know generally where I'm at. So I get out of the bush and with my hands up and start walking to the searchlight. From there, we start driving. We get to a kind of an industrial area. And now there's a lot more local. So if I had a chance to escape, then that chance had just expired. We start walking down a hall, and there's a half circle of locals, probably about 10 or 15. And it's a very vulnerable feeling getting discovered in a foreign country where you're conducting combat operations. So my mind was not made up, and I thought this is either where the beatings are going to start or this is where I'm going to get a lot of help. And when I walked in the room, everyone started giving me a round of applause. So I figured that was a pretty good sign that they were there.
A good piece of news.
To aid any assistance. Yeah.
Now, you needed at some point, probably right now, to initiate a rescue call, but there was a problem, I understand.
Yes. The first person I thought to call was, anyone at our home base, which is obviously in England and has a country code of 4-4 now, not 4-2, which is what I was using. Because the stress kind of kicked in and couldn't remember the country code, so
you forgot the number.
Forgot the number. So, but I did know my father's number, because you always remember your parents' number. So I called him and I said, "Hey, I need you to make a call for me. Just tell them that I'm in Benghazi, and they'll know what that means. They'll figure it out." He said, "Okay, sure." Didn't think really anything of it, and then after we hung up, looked up where Benghazi was and was obviously a little bit confused.
You know, the good news, it seems, is that it was you on the other end of the line, but getting a call like that is probably one of the worst parents can ever receive on a telephone. What have your parents said since that moment?
Well,
don't forget the number
the first
next
words,
time.
Yeah, don't forget the number. He got off the phone. My mom came in and said, "Oh, who was that?" It was Tyler. Is he okay? Yeah, he seemed fine. Are you sure? Why would he be calling? What did you guys talk about? And he told her, like, "Are you sure he's okay?" Yeah, he sounded just fine. So,
it's interesting. Captain Stark's parents seemed pretty chill about the whole thing. But Major Harney, I understand you may have had a harder time explaining what happened to you, to your wife.
That's true. Once I got picked up by the Marines, they flew us back out to the USS Kearsarge. And General Klein walks up to me and she says, "I had somebody waiting to talk to you on the phone." I asked her who it was and she said, "I got your wife." And I'm like, "Okay, awesome." First question I asked her was if she was mad at me. And she said, "Why would I be mad at you?" And I was like, "Well, I kind of fibbed about this being real safe."
Yeah. And then what did she say?
She came back with, "No, I'm not mad at you at all. I'm just glad that you're safe and I want you to hurry home." And I think at that point, the reality of the whole thing kind of set in with her and with me. And that's when it kind of became the emotional conversation from there, and pretty emotional.
Major Kenneth Harney and Captain Tyler Stark were rescued from Libya after their F-15 went down in March last year during the NATO operation there. Glad you gentlemen are both safe and well. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.